Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Have you been doing your salubrious activity? Huh? Feel the burn. What's salubrious activity? To promote health, right? Anything you can do physically to make you healthier so you want to do what God's telling you to do, right? That's important. Body, soul, and spirit, we're made up of three parts, right? Okay, what have we been talking about? Commitment, right? Commitment. What's commitment mean? Golgotha is the Hebrew word for the word commitment. So Golgotha is where Jesus was crucified. And so the idea behind that is, when you say you're committed to something, it means you're willing to die for what you're committed to. So that's why a marriage, and that's why, you know, a marriage relationship, you're making a commitment. I'm willing to die for this person. No matter how they act, no matter what they do, no matter what kind of issues, no matter if they don't put the toothpaste, no matter what, I'm willing to die for this person, right? For better or for worse, for rich or for poor, right? In sickness and in health, right? That's a commitment. Can I hear an amen? That is a commitment. So it's important to understand that. And that's a kingdom principle. When you're committed, God, what did David say? He said, delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 30, 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways in the Lord, and trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Commit. Remember, He'll give you the desires of your heart if you're truly committed. He's going to give you the deepest longings of your heart. He will bring it to pass. You know why? Because you're going to line your life up with His desires. That's why He's going to bring it to pass. That's what commitment does. It lines it up with His will and His way. Make sense? That's important. So today we're going to move on from commitment. Now this key that we're going on to today is the key of praise. Everybody say praise. Laudation, that means praise. So we're going to move on to this key of praise. Praise is a biblical principle. It's a Bible way to live. It's a faith way to live. So this is a principle that I'm telling you, when we live in this and operate in it, it changes your world and your perspective. But there's too much. Well, you'll hear it about in a few minutes. What you laughing at? We're going to get into this kingdom key of praise. Remember Jesus said what? I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Remember, to bind means to lock. To loose means to open, right? So that's the idea. He's giving you keys. And when you use these keys, you can open doors that no man can close, right? And you can shut doors that no man can open. God's given you keys and principles. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Hebrews or Ephesians chapter 6, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. There are negative principles against you. And that's why you have to understand, if I get these principles of the kingdom, I can rise above them and have victory over them. See that? We're wrestling against principles. So we need to understand that. All right. So we have a clip here I want to play before we get started. Could you... Don't worry.
I'm Young Haseo. My name is Nick Vujicic, and I love traveling around the world, fishing, golfing, and swimming. I love living life. I am happy.
Thank you.
I did want to end my life. Just felt hopeless, broken, alone. It's like it was pointless. There's no point to my life. There's no point to going to school. I didn't even think I was even going to be able to go to university, you know. Cold. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like bitterness as well.
Nice to see you. My name is Nick Vujicic, and it's a pleasure to be with you. So I have no limbs, but I have my little chicken drumstick. And so it's like, you like that? That would be really cool if I could get this and get some techno going. Like, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. But honestly, along the way, you might fall down like this. Ready? Hello! Right. So what do you do when you fall down? Get back up. Everybody knows to get back up, because if I start walking, I'm not going to get anywhere. But I tell you, there are some times in life where you fall down and you feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. Do you think you have hope? Because I tell you, I'm down here, face down, and I have no arms, no legs. It should be impossible for me to get back up, but it's not. You see, I will try 100 times to get up, and if I fail 100 times, if I fail and I give up, do you think that I'm ever going to get up? No. But if I fail, I try again, and again, and again. But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're going to finish. Are you going to finish strong? And you will find that strength to get back up like this.
Do I still desire him? You know what? I actually do. You know, I'm not discouraged if he doesn't give it to me. And it's not that I'm not content, because I am content. I'm fine. It's such a big ministry that God's given me, and such a beautiful thing to witness people's hearts being changed and transformed because of the testimony that we bring of God's glory, grace, and perfection. But I'm still believing for the miracle.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry.
Don't worry. Be happy. Boy, that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? I tell you, Nick's got it going on, doesn't he? All right. Turn to your Bibles to Psalms 34, and we're going to look at verse 1. Psalms 34, verse 1. Here's David again. Well, we can't get away from David, can we? Can we? He says, I will bless the Lord sometimes and praise him occasionally. His praise shall be occasionally in my mouth. Is that what it said? I will bless the Lord at all times. That's right. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Father, we come to you right now and we do give you praise. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the ministry that we just witnessed, Lord, of Nick. And we ask that you continue to strengthen him and bless him, Lord, as he reaches out and advances your kingdom. Lord, we just thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this place this morning, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of this day. We give you praise, Lord. Now, Lord, we just ask that your anointing continues to flow here. And that, Father, that none of us will remain the same. Because, Father, you've given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Father, we thank you for that. Let that become a reality, Lord. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding on this key of praise. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let no one be the same. And if there's anyone here today that's not coming to relationship with you, Lord, just draw them nearer to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. So, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I tell you what, that's huge, isn't it? That's the reason why David was a man after God's own heart. That's the reason why he is mentioned in the New Testament more than anyone in the Old Testament. That's the reason why he wrote so many psalms. That's the reason why there's 138 chapters written about David. David is a major player in the kingdom of God, in advancing the kingdom of God, because he understood this principle. Even though, remember last week, the fall we looked at, that he had that fall? If you weren't here last week, get the CD. If you can't afford it, just take it with you, because it's important to get this truth, this understanding in your heart. And don't say, I can't afford it, just take it. We want to get that, I can't afford it, out of our vocabulary, right? Because you can afford it, just maybe not now, all right? So, just don't say, I can't afford it. All right. Go with me to Deuteronomy 28. Don't worry. Be happy. If you're thinking about your trouble, you might just get double. Don't worry. I like that line. If you're thinking about your trouble, you might just get double. There's some truth in that. All right. Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to look at verse 45 through 47. Now, this is written to Israel. We're not, this isn't, you know, this is written to Israel. But remember, we looked in 2 Corinthians 10 where it says that all the examples in the Old Testament were given to us for examples, for our learning and our growth, right? Remember that? So that's why we're looking at this. This is an example that's been given to us of a principle. And so I wanted us to see this. We are no longer under the curse, But there are ramifications of, because you're born again. But if you're not born again, you're still under the curse. You see what I'm saying? But when you're born again, spiritually, you're no longer under that curse. So, Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Now that's kind of a switch, isn't it? What's he saying there? He's saying that this is going to come on you because you didn't serve God with joy and gladness of heart. Because you weren't giving God praise and serving him joyfully. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Did you ever see it that way? This elevates this idea of we need to be serving God with joy and gladness of heart. Because that's what God intended. See, ultimately, that's what God intended before the fall, Adam and Eve. That they would serve God joyfully and praise God joyfully and with gladness of heart continually. So the fall brought all these curses on them. You see this? So that's why we want to be a people. We're getting back to the garden, right? So we want to serve God joyfully and with gladness of heart. And folks, praise is the key to doing that. Praise is the key to doing that. He did not create us to be morbid, depressed, and murmurers and complainers. Okay? He didn't create us for that. He didn't create us, that's part of the corrupt nature, see, to be depressed and discouraged all the time. Depression and discouragement, folks, shouldn't be in our makeup. I know, you know, some people say, well, I'm clinically depressed. There is such a thing. But I took a course on biblical anthropology. And I remember these statistics. And all the big Ivy League schools and all this, these medical doctors, big hitters in our country, got together. And they started looking at the people on these antidepressants. Because America takes more antidepressants than anyone in the country. They take 80% of the antidepressants in the world. America consumes them. Only 20% are the rest. But they took a study, they did a study, and 5% need to take medicine. 5%. Only 5%. 20%. They don't know why they need it, but you understand? And then 75%, they just didn't need it at all. You understand? 20% they did, couldn't find nothing, but you see? And then 70% didn't need it at all. I'm going to tell you something. What I'm talking about today, praise, is really a Bible way to live. This is the way we were created to live. And when we begin to operate in this, it's going to show us new things about ourselves and about others. One of the chief characteristics of a believer should be to be thankful and to offer up praise to God continually. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about they didn't give God glory, and it says, nor were they thankful. And then it says, and their foolish hearts became darkened. Their foolish hearts became darkened because they didn't want to praise God for what he had done and what he was doing. And they didn't want to give God the thanks. So they ended up, their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, they stayed in ignorance. They couldn't come into the knowledge and understanding of who God was and all that he had for them. because they didn't want to give him praise and glory. You see this? Now, true praise is to be humble. One who acknowledges that it is God who is there and who is our supplier and our source. Folks, that's praise. And that's what we are to do. We are to acknowledge God as our supplier and our source. Praise helps us to remember who our source is. If we aren't praising God, we'll end up in pride. You see that? And pride is self-focused. Pride is focused on your problems. If you're focused on your problems all the time, that's pride. That's self-centeredness. That's why you can't afford to get hurt and focus on how hurt you are all the time. That's pride. That's why you can't just grieve something and just continue to grieve it all the time. That's self-centeredness. That's selfish. Huh? That's what it is. We're not created to do that. Do you see this? That's the root of that is pride. Think about that. Go with me to be totally occupied with your problems. That's pride at its worst. When all you think about is your problems and you're consumed with yourself, that's pride. Go with me to Colossians 2:7 real quick. Colossians 2:7. Okay. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. People of faith, abounding faith, are going to be people of praise and people of thanksgiving. When you are truly thankful and giving praise, that's an abounding faith. People who really are really wanting to live by faith and live how God created, that's abounding faith. You can't live the life God created you for without praise and thanksgiving in your life. Thanksgiving is just praise. Do you see this? You cannot live without praise and really live in faith, abounding faith, and fulfill the plan and purpose of God. You have to have that praise in your life. And this has got to be a part of our life. Praise. Now, it's important to understand that because I see people who are discouraged and they look all down and depressed all the time, but they say they're believing God. They say that they look like they're, you know, been drugged through a ringer, but I'm believing God. You know, their countenance is all, you know, if you look at them, you would think, what? But they say they're believing God. Folks, no. That right there, you know what? You're focused on your problems. You know, we need to get to a point where we're praising God because, and if it hasn't happened yet, we're already praising Him that it has happened. You see that? We're praising Him that it's happened. Even if it hasn't happened yet, we're praising Him. We need to begin to praise Him before it happens. Before you see this, that's the Bible way. That's the faith way to operate. God calls things that aren't as though they are. That's the way we're to be. That's Bible faith. Now think about this. When we get to where we can praise, we need to get to where we can praise as though it's already happened. Turn to God's word. It turns us to God's word and His promises. When we praise, it gets us off our problems and on to God with a solution. Life is a series of problems. Everyone is going to have problems. Problems are always going to exist. It's how you respond to them is how you're going to elevate yourself and get over them. Circumstances should never dictate to you your attitude and the way you view things. Not if you're a believer. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're a person of faith, folks, we got to get ourselves and rise above. And then people are going to maybe want a little bit of what you have, right? But if you're saying, I believe in God, and you're going, oh, you know, you're right, complaining and murmuring right with everybody else, that will keep you out of the promised land. That's what kept the Israelites out of the promised land. Remember? They started complaining about the giants. They were exaggerating their problems. And that's what happens to us. When we focus on our problems, we start exaggerating we make our problems bigger than anything. Folks, that is not Bible-believing faith. You see that? And you'll never get into the... Even when they got into the promised land, they had to overcome and they had to overtake things. They had to continue. You see that? Even when... You'll never get to a place where you're just going to coast and, oh, life is going... That's not going to happen. That's a fantasy land. But you get to a place where you can walk in victory. Thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every... If He's leading you, you are walking in victory. And folks, that's what praise does. Praise puts your mind and heart on God and the solution, not the problem. And that's important. Psalms 34 said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Praise gets the attention off the problem and onto the promise. Off the problem and onto the promise. Doubt and unbelief come when you are considering the problem all the time. And you're always ruminating over your problem. Ruminating means to meditate. Just another word for it. I like to, you know me. So that's what happens. When you're ruminating and meditating on that problem all the time, doubt and unbelief are just going to attack and just, they're going to be all over you. They're going to be all over you. A large portion of what people call prayer is just complaining. They go and they say they prayed for their spouse this morning, and if he would just do this, and if he didn't do that, and if he would pick up his socks, and if he would do this, and if he would do that, and he never does this, and he never does that. You know, God, you're just talking about all the problems, but never about any solutions of what God has told you in His Word. You see that? See, that's what we need to do. We need to go to God with the answer and remind Him of the answer and begin to praise God. You see that? That's the way we should approach God. But when we're always complaining, God can't work through that. And He's not going to work through that. You see that? And that's why we can't be joining in with the economic crisis. There is no economic crisis in the kingdom, right? We're kingdom people. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, right? Philippians chapter 2. Do all things. How many things? Do all things without murmuring and complaining, that you may be found blameless and harmless, children of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will shine as lights in this world. Just by not complaining and murmuring and fault-finding, you begin to stand out. And that's the call on our life. Are we making sense? Well, you don't know my problems. Folks, listen to me. We all got problems. Well, I understand this thing about praise, but if you had my problems, let me tell you something. We all got problems. You see that? We all have problems. See, it's not based on your circumstances. You see that? It's based on what God says. And God will help you with your problem and assist you in your problem if you'll just do what He says in your problem. We making sense? Now, it's like exercise. Nobody feels like exercising. I didn't feel like doing P90X this week. That's a lot of because I wasn't doing my running. I haven't ran in a week, 2 weeks. What? See? I'm still all right, but I've been doing P90X. That's a whole nother way. You know, I'm getting back to running on Monday because the snow and stuff's been on my trail, you know, but I've been doing P90X. So I'm just trying to show you. Exercise, you don't feel like it, but as you do it, you start to see the results. Slowly start to see. That's why it says bodily in 1 Timothy chapter 4, bodily exercise profits little, but godly exercise profiteth much, for it profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come. You see, that's what praise is. Praise is a godly exercise. It profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come, because we're bringing heaven to earth. The Bible says in Revelations 19:5 that they were praising God around the throne. Constantly praising God. We're going to be praising God forever. We might as well begin now, right? Because we're bringing heaven to earth. And that's what we do when we begin to praise God. We're bringing heaven to earth. And he's going to assist you in the things you're going through and empower you to rise above them. Am I making sense? That's huge. That is huge right there. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, Paul was put into prison, and he's in prison, chains around his feet, guards breathing down his neck. And this is what he says, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice! What? Rejoice! Now, wait a minute. He didn't feel like it. He was hurt because he was put in. He didn't feel like it. Right? He did not feel, do you think he felt like praising God? You know, here's what he tells us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, and again I say rejoice. In other words, if you didn't get it the first time, here, again I say rejoice. And then he says, and let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He wrote that with guards around him, breathing down his neck. He said, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. That word gentleness means this, the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. And that's what Paul did. And that's what released, that's what came out of Paul. Paul, because he rejoiced. See that? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And let the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings be made known to everybody that the Lord is at hand. Oh, we got to understand that. You see, because that releases a power in your life, no matter what the problem is, no matter what's around, it releases something in you, and it begins to assist you. And then what's he go on to say? And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ. Through Christ. You see, that's what happens. Peace is power. Peace is power. Now, think about this. He says in Isaiah 26:3, in his perfect peace he will keep them whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, do you have peace? See, do you have peace? If you don't have peace, let's switch it around. I don't have peace because my mind's not on him. But when my mind's on him, I'm going to have perfect peace. You see, that's the solution. That's what praise does. It gets your mind back on God. And the results are peace. Am I making sense? The results are peace. Folks, this is a Bible way to live. Now, get a hold of this. He says in Philippians 4:8, right after he said, and the peace of God will guard your mind and heart through Christ, he says this, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on what things? Anything that's praiseworthy. That's what he said. Remember what the word meditate means? It means as a cow chews his cud, and a cow can chew his cud and swallow it down to the third stomach. And then he can regurgitate it back up and chew on it some more. Well, that's what God wants you to do about the good things that he's given us. Meditate on them, right? Get them down in you and then regurgitate them up and speak them back out to yourself. And what happens? And God of peace will be with you. You see that? That is the Bible way to live. Now watch this. That's the way we're to live. See, that's when peace comes. Folks, our praise puts our minds and hearts back on God. Think about this. In Romans 8:2, it says, the carnal mind brings forth death, but the spiritual mind brings forth life and peace. Life and peace come when you are focused on the spiritual things. Jesus said, my words in John 6:63 are life and they're spirit. When you're focused on his word and him, you see, you get life and peace. But the carnal mind brings forth death. Carnal means natural. When all you're looking at is the things around you, and you're just looking at all the problems and all the, then you know what? If that's all you're thinking about, then you're going to get death. And the word death means separation from God. It doesn't mean lay down physical dead. It means separation from God. God is not in what you're thinking about, what you're about. Huh? Making sense. You got to on purpose do this. This has to be intentional and purposeful. It's not easy to do this. There's nothing easy about it. And I'm telling you, when your bills are coming in and piling up and the car breaks down and the kids are whining, and you know what? And all these things are happening. But folks, listen to me. Get a hold of what I'm talking about. You start praising God in the middle of that. I'm going to tell you what, he will help you, and wisdom will come. You see, when all your focus is about your problems, there's no place for wisdom to come into your heart. There's no place for true understanding to come in of God's ways. You've blocked it off with your complaining and murmuring. Come on, am I making sense? And that's why we got to give God praise. And when we praise him, we're opening up that door for life and peace to come in. That's huge. Paul, I like Paul. Paul was in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. That's the treasure we have in us. We have the power of God in us. You see that? In us. And then he said, for we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For our light afflictions are but for a moment, and doing what? They're working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight and glory. He wasn't saying my light afflictions are my little problems. That's not what he meant. He said my light afflictions. You know what his light afflictions were? You find them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Stoned, beaten with rods. Anybody ever beat with a steel rod? You know what that's for? It's to bruise your bones. I remember I jumped out of my bunk bed when I was a little boy, and I bruised my heel. And man, that thing hurt. I remember that pain. I thought, man, I don't want to do that again. Because that stayed with me for like a month. And it was painful. But can you imagine that all over your body? Bruised. Beaten with rods. Rejected by his own journeymen. The very people he helped and helped over and over, they rejected him. Snake bitten. Shipwrecked. Over and over, light afflictions. See that? Did he feel like praising God? It's not based on how you feel. Folks, when you start to praise God, you know what? Those feelings go away. The spirit, the wisdom of God and the power of God begins to cause you to rise above those feelings and those emotions. Now you're in control of your emotions and your feelings. Because your emotions and your feelings will take you to a place you don't want to go. Am I making sense? This is huge. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, all the people he helped, they ended up, this army came in, the Hittites came in, and they came in and plundered all their goods and took everything, and they began to blame David, and they coming against David, and they were going to stone David. 1 Samuel chapter 3. They were getting ready to stone him. And David was heavily distressed. But the Bible says he began to remember what God had told him. And the Bible says he encouraged and strengthened himself. Sometimes you got to encourage and strengthen yourself by praising God. Am I making sense? And after that, they recovered all. Did you get a hold of that? Because he praised God, everything was recovered. One man, because he decided to do what God told him to do, everything was recovered. You think when you have a pity party, it's not going to affect other people? It's going to affect other people. You can't just have a pity party. You can't just go off and get in your funk and just want to hang out. You're affecting your children. You're affecting people who are close to you. That affects them in a negative way. You can't just get depressed and discouraged all the time. That's not acceptable in the kingdom of God. Come on, am I making sense? It's my party and I cry if I want to, cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you. Boop, 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 boop. Anybody ever done that? That's not acceptable. You have never done that. Pity party. We got to rise above that. You're affecting others when you do that. You see that? You're not only affecting yourself. When Paul and Silas were put into prison, they were put in a prison. Acts chapter 16. Check me out. They were put into prison, and around midnight, they began to praise God and sing songs. And when they began to sing songs and praise God, an earthquake came and shook the ground. The prison doors opened. All the inmates were able to walk out. The chains that were on the inmates broke off. See, a spiritual principle was released because of what they chose to do. Am I making sense? When you remain in praise, you're going to break bondages off of people that are close to you, and you're going to keep people from getting into prison. And you're going to help people get out of prison. And it's going to help you stay out of prison in your mind. Because it could put your focus back on God and His Word and His promises. Oh, you just know that's good preaching right there. That is the way it is, folks. When we are focused on God and His Word, I'm telling you, the Word is the solution. And when we'll get our praise on Him, it takes stuff off of you. And it takes stuff off of other people. It's not just about you, is it? That's what we got to understand. I remember my grandmother. My grandmother had this principle down. She was always singing. And always reading. She read her Bible every day. She took me to church when I was little. We'd go down to Virginia in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And she was singing all the time. And I remember one time we were down there. And my sisters and I, we were in the house and playing. And she was in the field beside her house. There was this weird big, it was like a, it looked like Switzerland, just a beautiful place. And just had a little house built at the bottom of this mountain, Blue Ridge Mountains, and the stream came down through. You know, just, you could hear it bubbling, you know, just, it was just beautiful. And, you know, they didn't have an outside John, I remember. And then they didn't have running water, but they ended up getting that and just slowly, you know. But the idea is they had, and they raised 9 kids like that. And they had a field where they grew beans and corn and different things. Well, she was in the field picking her beans. And a storm came up. And I mean, it started, you know, lightning and beating. And they had a tin roof. And we were in the house. And this roof sounded like, man, this is something's going on. I started crying. I remember I was just a little kid. I started crying. It's Grandma. And I went out to on the porch. I said, Grandma! You know, here she comes. Here she comes. She had 2 big old baskets of beans, mud all over, and beans coming out of her apron. And she said, I'm coming, sugar. Just wait a minute. I'm going to fix your beans today. Just full of joy. You hear what I'm saying? She wasn't whining about the storm and the mud, and I wasn't helping her with the beans. She was just happy. Do you hear what I'm saying? Happy. I remember her calling my dad, and their house would flood out when the rain really came. Flood the whole house out. They have to move and go into higher ground. And she called, and she's talking to my dad. She says, "Let me talk to Freddie." I get on the phone. And, "What you doing?" I say, "What happened, Grandma?" "Well, oh, the house flooded and everything." But she says, "Are you coming down this summer? I'm going to have your chocolate cake," and just talking about how she's going to fix my cake and do all. Couldn't wait till I was coming. Didn't say one thing about the house being flooded and everything, all the problems she was in. Praise. Praise. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I've been in this problem. This has been going on for a year. You don't know what I'm going through. A year? What's a year compared to eternity? Huh? What if it's 5 years? I'm telling you, you're affecting people who are close to you. Your attitude, the way you're dealing with it. When you start to praise, it's taking you to another place. Things are going to start opening up for you. Am I making sense? I want to preach from now till next week. I don't want to stop, but I'm going to have to. We're going to stay on this for a couple weeks. So bring your friends and neighbors. This is a principle that we got to get a hold of. Is this making sense today? We're going to sing a song, and then I got one word for you before you leave. So stay with me.